If you would, take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 this evening. You know, in our lives as Christians, we're always striving to move forward. We want to move forward in our personal lives. We want to move forward in our financial lives. We want to move forward in our personal relationships. But the thing that God desires that we move forward in is our spiritual relationship with Him. Amen? And God many times has to take and basically push us or pull us sometimes to get us to move. But God works in a special way. Amen. God's ways are not our ways. So if you would, please, I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Please, you have to bear with me. I about lost my voice preaching, but I'm going to preach. Amen. Exodus chapter 14. We're going to start in verse number 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. You know, there's never one of those fear nots, brother. Amen. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day. Amen? 365. It says, Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up your hand, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go unto dry ground through the midst of the sea. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for the love that you've shown us. God, you truly have opened up the seas of our life. And God, you've allowed us to pass over on dry land many a time. But Father, tonight we ask you, Lord, once again by the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to move into our midst, Father. God, we don't ask you just to stir us, but God, to change us. God, to challenge us, to cause us to move and do a greater work for you. Challenge us, Father, to move closer, to stay closer. Father, Lord, that we can watch you work in our lives. God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus that gave his life for us. Father, please embrace us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. As we look at this portion of scripture, we need to realize that the children of Israel are in a desperate situation. You know, if we look at our lives many a times, we are in desperate situations. Situations that we don't know which way we're going to turn or how to turn or where to turn. But God is never deceived. God is never deprived of the opportunity or privilege that he has to be able to work in and through us, his children. And God desires, as it says here in verse number 15, that we go forward. Amen? That we go forward. And sometimes God has to do great works before we ever see the work that God is doing. It's like Caleb. You know, Caleb, when he went into the promised land of Canaan, he had a desire to take the land, but the people turned and said no. But thanks be to God, he never lost his vision. Amen? And as an 85-year-old man, he went back and he took the mountain. Amen? In Joshua... In Joshua, he went back and he claimed that mountain for God. He went back and he took the mountain for the glory of God in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 6 through 15. God never fails in his promises. God never fails in his promises. If you're here tonight and you're going through a valley, you have a hard problem, a difficult problem in your life, you may have courage tonight because God is on your side. God is on your side. We of necessity must have visions. We of necessity must have goals. We of necessity must have desires. But those desires need to be based upon God's will. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We want, first of all, to see in this portion of Scripture, we want to see God's hand of preparation. As I told you, God's ways are not our ways. They're too high for us to understand. But yet God works in such a way that we see him work in our lives. Here the children of Israel. The Bible tells us here in verse number 1 of chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and enter, turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over between Baal-Zephon, before it shall be ye encamped by the sea. Here, God has taken the children of Israel, and in all the layout of the ground, here Israel has come between two mountain ranges. And these mountain ranges are so rugged that there's no way that you could escape going over the mountain. They've come down through a valley to the Red Sea. So for them to turn to the right, they cannot turn to the right. For them to turn to the left, they cannot turn to the left. For them to go forward, it looks impossible because the Red Sea lies before them. And as you know, the portion of scripture that we've read here, Egypt has risen up against them. They've left Egypt, and now the Egyptians are in pursuit of them. And they see the enemy coming. But they don't know what God's been doing. They don't realize what God's been doing. We see God's hand of preparation. As God's hand of preparation was moving in Genesis 14, 1 through 8, God had already worked many miracles. God had already prepared many things. God's redeeming His people. How did He plan the redemption of His people? First of all, He reared up Moses. Amen. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 2, Moses was born in a time that he shouldn't have lived. Pharaoh had given command that all the male children were to be killed because there were too many of the Israelites. They were fearful of them. But when Moses' mother saw Moses, she knew that God had something special for him. So she hid him. She hid him. God reared up a man to deliver His people. Not only did He rear him up, He raised him up. Here, Moses, when he was a few months old, they put him in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter come down to bathe in the river. And she heard the crying of Moses, and when she found little Moses in this little ponia, I can't think of the English word, basket, amen, thank you, dear. I got my wife here to translate, amen. My little basket, amen, floating in the water. She had compassion upon him, but God makes no mistakes. For Pharaoh's daughter had a handmaid. And Pharaoh's daughter's handmaid was Moses' older sister. Was Moses' sister. So when Moses was hit in the bulrushes, Moses' sister said, "Shall I find somebody to give suck to this child?" Who did she go get? But mama. Amen. She went and got her mother, who was the mother of Moses. God raised him up. Now God will not do anything second best. He does it the very best. Amen. Had Moses been raised by Pharaoh's daughter, by Pharaoh's people, he would have lived the life of an Egyptian. He would not have known the ways of Israel. He would not have known the ways of his people because he was a baby and he was raised. We see people adopt children from other countries, little babies. They're raised in American principles. They don't know the life where they came from. But Moses, God put his mother and his sister to raise him. And Moses was raised knowing who he was, an Israelite. He knew what his goal in life was. Though he ran from it, he knew what it was. God spared him. Maybe at this time he was too young to know. But then we see the rebellion of Moses in the redemption. He rebelled. He saw the Egyptians mistreating his people. And he went out and killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. The next day he sees two Israelites. I'm going in Creole again. Israel. Israelites, thank you. Amen. I need more translators. Amen. Israelites, amen. Israelites fighting. And what happens? Israelites, amen. I'll get out of it, excuse me, amen. I got Creole on the brain and in the heart, amen. But anyway, he sees them fighting. He goes out and they say, "What are you going to do to us? What have you done to the Egyptian?" And Moses, in fear, ran for his life. He rebelled. He ran to the backside of the desert. There he took care of his father-in-law's herds. Amen. He took care of them. And there God, in the retreat of Moses, began to ready Moses for the ministry. As he led those flocks, God was preparing him to lead a people. God was preparing him to lead a people. Then you see the readiness of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1. The burning bush. Moses, he sees the burning bush. God is in the midst of that burning bush. And Moses goes to see why this bush that's consumed with fire will not burn. And when Moses comes up to the place where the burning bush is, God speaks to him out of the burning bush and tells Moses, "Moses, take your shoes off, because you're walking on holy ground." Folks, do you realize when you walk into this place, God set it apart? Amen? Many people walk into church and they don't realize where they've come to. God's put this place apart for Him. And when we walk in, it ought to be with the reverence and love of God, that God can work in our hearts. And Moses, God began to speak to him. And then we see the return of Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 18. He returns to Egypt to deliver the people that God's called him to. We see the restitution of Moses' people, Israel. God uses, God's made all this preparation. Everything's been laid. And that brings us up to Exodus chapter 14. Moses now is leading the children of Israel out. And he leads them to the place where God tells them. And where God tells them to go is basically a death zone, if you would please. There's no way out but one. No way to escape. You know, there's some times in our life that we feel like there's no way out, don't we? That there's no place to escape. But God always has a plan. God always has a plan. And as God was working His plan, He prepared a man for the redemption of His children. And then we see God readying not only the people, redeeming the people of Israel, but we see Him readying the Egyptian's heart. Look in verse number 3, if you would, please. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Look what happens here. God, redeeming His people, prepared a man. But now God's readying Egypt. You mean, what are you talking about readying Egypt? The Israelites, Israelites, thank you. The Israelites have lived for years and years and years with the Egyptians. They have served them as slave labor. And now God is delivering them. And what God has done, He has prepared the Egyptians' heart. First of all, we see a dependent heart. In verse number 5, it says this. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of all his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? They had a dependent heart upon the Israelites. I'm still in Creole. I might get it right before the night's over. Amen. The Israelites, they had control over them. They were their slave labor. They were dependent upon these people to work and to make those bricks. To make those bricks. But not only were they dependent, they had a deceived heart. Pharaoh said within his heart, they're entangled in the land. Hey, God's made a mistake. That's what he's saying. God has messed up. He's put them in a place that they have nowhere to turn. The Red Sea's before them, the mountains on both sides. This is going to be an easy kill. This is going to be an easy kill. Pharaoh was deceived in his heart. He was deceived in his heart. He was misled, but then he was deprived in his heart. That's why he was deceived. God had hardened his heart. God had hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Then God had it. Then the Egyptians had a determined heart. They said that they, in verse 6 through 8, they were going to go and bring them back. And they got the chariots and the best soldiers. And they pursued the Israelites. I'll get it right before the night's over. The Israelites. Amen. And then I'm going to go back to Haiti next week and I'm going to say Israelite. Amen. But they determined in their heart to bring them back. They were deceived within themselves, but God had readied their hearts. God had readied their hearts that He might deliver Israel in only a way that God could do it. But not only did He have to prepare a Redeemer beforehand, that means Moses, God prepared Moses, amen. Yesterday I didn't have this problem, amen. But I've been speaking a little Creole and it's just kind of hung in there, amen. But Moses had this problem. God prepared Moses to lead the people out. God prepared the hearts of the Egyptians. But now, God has rendered Israel helpless and hopeless. Look in verse number 10. It says here, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they all were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dwelt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Look what happened here. God has rendered Israel, the Israelites, helpless. They have no hope. As I told you, mountains on both sides, the Red Sea before them, and now Pharaoh's army behind them. And they said, this is where we're going to die. Would to God we should have stayed in Egypt and served the Egyptians as to die in the wilderness. But what caused their heart to faint like this is because their conditions changed. See, when they were crossing the desert there, it was no problem. They were shouting and carried on. They had walked to freedom. But now they see the enemy coming. Conditions has changed. Their back is to the wall. Then their confidence has changed. In verse number 10, their confidence changed. Better to be slaves than to trust God is what they said. Better to be slaves. They're confident. They lost confidence in God. God let us out here to die. They lost all confidence in Moses, God's man. Hey, what do you think you're doing? You're the reason we shouldn't have listened to you in the beginning. Ever have that happen, preacher? Hey, man. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. But their condition changed. Their confidence changed. And their countenance changed. Their countenance changed. Look with me if you would. In verse number 8. In the latter part, it says that the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Amen. They left Egypt a shouting. Amen. They left Egypt on cloud 9, if you would please. They were rejoicing. But where's the joy now? They've went from rejoicing to murmuring. To complaining, to blaming, accusing others. Have you ever had problems in your life? You said it's somebody else's fault. Listen. We need to realize if there's a problem, we're part of it. Amen? We are part of it. And the children of Israel was blaming Moses. They were blaming God for all that had gone wrong. They went out with a shout, but things changed. Things changed. God has brought them to a point of helplessness. Now, their condition changed, their confidence changed, their countenance changed, but the conflict has changed too. Now what's the difference in the conflict? Look at verse 9. It says here, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea beside Pahirath and Baal-Zephon. You can help me there, amen. Yeah. Amen. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Look what we have here. We have Israel's conflict changing. When they left Egypt, they didn't think Pharaoh was going to follow. They thought, okay, we have the victory, the battle's won, we're free. But the conflict had just begun. See, when they left Egypt, all they had to worry about was the elements. The heat, the wind, the water, all the things that were before them. But now they have to worry about the enemy. You know, in our Christian walk, many times we walk as though all we're dealing with is circumstances. But those circumstances many times are controlled by our enemy, who's trying to lure us into a trap to deceive us and destroy us. And that's what they thought about the Egyptians. That God has abandoned me. God has forgotten me. God doesn't even remember where he sent me. But God knew all along what he was going to do. See, God has set the stage down to prepare a way for Israel. Though all of it looks negative, God has prepared a way. When it all looks hopeless, when it seems there's no hope, there's no future, there's nothing left, God has a way. God has already prepared a way for you and I. For we that are here today that know Christ, we've learned the way of life. Amen. For those of you that are here that don't know Christ, God has prepared a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as you'll see here in just a little bit, God gives a picture, a beautiful picture of how He will deliver you from the bondage to liberty. God never messes up. So here we've seen the hand of God's preparation. And now we see God's hand of promise. God's hand of promise in Exodus 14, verse 13 through 16. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Look what God promised here. God promised deliverance. And God promised that they wouldn't have to lift a finger. Do you know why a lot of times we get in trouble? We think we're fighting the battle. We think we have to make a way. We think we have to deal with the problems. God will deal with the problems for us if we will just give them to Him. But we have to come to the point we surrender all to Him. Israel had no other avenue. They've come to the point that they have no hope. Their life is finished. But look what God's promise. Remember in Genesis chapter 17. God made a covenant with Abraham. Amen. That He would make a nation out of Israel. That the sands of the sea wouldn't compare to it. In other words, there would be no way of counting them. And then when you look at Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1 through 8. You'll see the covenant that God made with Israel itself. God made a covenant that He would deliver them and He would give them a land and He would make them a nation again. God promised these things. But a lot of times when we're in a trying situation, a lot of times when we're in the valley, a lot of times when we're up against the wall, we forget about the promises of God. You know, it's difficult for me to understand sometimes why the last person that we ask for help is God. It ought to be the first person, amen? He ought to be the one that we run to in our time of need. But instead, we're like the children of Israel. We look at all the circumstances without looking up. See, you have to look out to see circumstances. You have to look up to see God. And what happens here? God has made a covenant. God has made a promise. But look what God does with His promise. We see the deterrent that God puts before the children of Israel. Look at verse 19. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. What did God do? God put a deterrent between the nation of Israel and their enemies. Pharaoh and his army were coming. They were going to overtake them. They were far better equipped for battle. Israel was not equipped for battle. They had no weapons. They had no horses. They had not what the Egyptians had. But as the Egyptians came upon them, God put a deterrent there. God took the angel and moved him to the back. And God took the cloud from the front and moved him to the back and put a wall between them. Hey, listen. You ever heard that old saying, I'm between a rock and a hard spot? That's where Israel was. They were between a rock and a hard spot. But you know what God did? God got between the rock and them. And God took over the problem. Instead of saying, I'm between a rock and a hard spot, you know what we ought to say? God's between the rock and my hard spot. Amen? And let God deal with it. God got between the children of Israel and the problem. The Egyptians couldn't advance. Though they wanted to, they couldn't advance. It was a pillar of fire. It was the presence of God. Listen, you may have problems that look like they're going to consume you. Give it to God and God will put a barrier there. He'll put a deterrent in your life that'll stop the enemy. They may threaten you. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. But maybe the Egyptians were taunting the Israelites, the children of Israel. Amen. The children of Israel. They could have been taunting them. They could have been trying to put a fear in them, and they already had a fear in them. You ever had somebody just taunt you? Ever have a problem that taunted you? Ever have a situation that taunted you? Give it to God, and He'll get between you and the problem, and He'll take care of it for you. He will take care of it for you. That's the kind of God that we serve. And that's the way that God works. He puts us back to the wall. He puts us in a situation. There's nothing we can do ourselves. And then He'll put the deterrent there. But not only did He put a deterrent in His promise, He gave a direction. Look in verse number 16. The children of Israel are complaining. The children of Israel are crying out. And look what it says. God told Moses, But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God told Moses, hey, listen, quit crying. Amen? Preacher, how many times have people come up on us? Amen? And they pounce on us like wolves sometimes. Amen? And we go, oh, God. Have you ever had that happen to you? People just try to rip you to shreds. And you say, oh God. God says, hey, listen, lift up your hand. Amen. Hebrews tells us to lift up holy hands. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're being in the midst of a trial, if you're going through a heartache, lift up some holy hands. Amen. And reach up to the one who can take care of you. He told Moses, lift up your hand, divide the waters. Divide that sea. What do you think Moses thought when God said that? You out of your mind? Me? No, Moses didn't even question it. Moses took that rod and he lifted it up just like God said. And he stretched it out. And what did God do? He kept His promise. He kept His promise. See, God had a plan all along. The children of Israel, their backs weren't to the wall. Though they saw the circumstances, though they saw the enemy, though they saw the problem, their backs were not against the wall. They were leaning on the Lord and they never knew it. Do you realize, brother, in your problems of life, you may think your back's to the wall, but God's got His hand there holding you. He's got His hand there supporting you. Taking you through those trials. Taking you through those problems. God is with you. He put a deterrent. He gave direction. Then He gave a disturbance. God works in great ways. Amen. God works. Look in verse number 24. And it came to pass. This is after the Red Sea's been divided. The children of Israel have walked across on dry ground like God promised. They've got deliverance. And when they look behind, who do they see coming? The Egyptian army. And again, their hearts faint within them. But look what God does. And it came to pass in that morning, which the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now, what did God do that troubled them? They have gone through the plagues. See, when Moses went to Egypt and told Pharaoh to let God's children go, God passed plague after plague after plague, even to the point He took the firstborn of every family. And now, here they are. That didn't trouble them. They got over that. They wanted these children of Israel back. They wanted that slave labor back. So what happens? They pursue them. The children of Israel look back and they see the Egyptians coming. But look what God does here in verse number 25. And took off the chariot's wheels. Amen? Those 600 chariots flying down through the dry bed of the Red Sea, coming after the children of Israel, and God took off the chariot wheels that they drave them heavy. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You know what we think would do it? Order in a howitzer. Amen. Get our own army up. A lot of times, we fight battles we don't have to. A lot of times we put ourselves in dangers that we don't have to. A lot of times we carry burdens that we don't have to. A lot of times we carry problems, situations that are not for us. And God said, just let me have it. I've already got a plan. I'll knock the wheels off that thing. Amen. Now, who would have thought of that? But God, amen. The Egyptians sure didn't, or the children of Israel sure didn't think about it. And it was the last thing on the mind of the Egyptians. And all of a sudden, the wheels come off those chariots. And they begin to bounce across the ground. And those soldiers go, only God could do that. Yeah, he can take my firstborn, that's okay, but not my chariot. Amen. Not my chariot. What'd God do? He took it. He turned it around. Knocked the wheels off that thing. We wouldn't have thought of that. But God took the wheels off. Amen. Caused a disturbance. Amen. But you know what the sad part is? Usually it's us that's disturbed, not the enemy. Usually it's us that's perplexed, not the enemy. But if we'd let God fight the battle for us, God would put a deterrent, God would give us direction, and God would put a disturbance that would deliver us. He would deliver us. Then God gives a condition to His promise. God gives a condition to His promise. Look at verse number 15. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Look what God wants them to do. He wants them to go forward. He says, lift up thine rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Man, could you imagine being there and watching that water start to part? But you know, God does that in your life. He'll part the waters of your sorrow. He'll part the waters of your heartaches. He'll part the waters of sin and set you free. Give you a way to go to the other side. But look what he says here. Look what he says here. I'm looking for a verse that I've overlooked. Amen. It says here in verse 13, that's where I'm at, excuse me. Said, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. You know what the condition is that God gives us to get the victory in our life? First of all, the condition is don't worry. Don't worry. You know what worrying is? Worrying is a fear of the mind. A fear of the mind. God said, you better get it out of your mind. And then he says, don't wander. He said, stand still. Stand still. You know, a lot of times we're too busy wandering, trying to figure out what we're going to do. But God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. That's controlling the body. First is controlling the mind. The second is controlling this old flesh. Amen. The body. But look at the third condition. He said, don't waver. See the salvation of the Lord. Amen. See the salvation of the Lord. That's the spiritual part. So you got mind, body, and spirit. God says, control it. He said, that's the condition I give. He said, give it to me. And then what's he say? Don't wait. Don't wait. Go forward, verse number 15. Go forward. Now let me ask you a question. How many times has God helped you, but you haven't moved? How many times has He opened the sea, and you're still in the same place? How many times has He set you free from the bondage, and because you didn't move and go forward, the enemy caught up with you again? The flesh. Sin. Satan caught up with you again. Because see, you didn't go forward. God wants us to go forward in our lives. He's opened the way. He said, don't wait. See, when God saved you, it wasn't to sit. It was to go forward. That you might grow in the grace of God. You might grow in the mercies of God. You might see the face of God in your life. God has made a way. God has made a way. God said, don't wait. Look at verse number 15. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. See, the children of Israel didn't want to go forward. They wanted to go back. Human nature is go back. But God says go forward. How many times has God delivered us? And because we didn't move, we went back instead of forward. We fell into the same problems. Turned to the same lifestyle. Lived with the same situations. And God has already made a way. God is so good. God is so good. And for the nation of Israel, God made a way. And God said, don't wait, go forward. Then we see God's hand of purpose. God's hand of purpose, verse 17 and 18. And behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all the host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Do you know what God's purpose is in our life? That he might get honor. God's purpose that he might get honor. Look what it says here in verse 31 of that chapter. It says, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. He got the honor. Just a few hours before, they were murmuring. They were complaining. They were fearful of death. And here they are now. Standing on the other side, watching the Egyptians being consumed as the walls of water come tumbling down upon them, knowing that their enemy has been destroyed. It says, and they believed. What's God going to have to do to make you believe? What's he going to have to do to cause you to willfully just say, God, I believe. God, I give my life to you. God, I trust you. I'm entrusting you with my life. Israel had come to that point. God received the honor. Not only did he receive the honor, he received the glory. It was his glory. Amen. Look in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. Listen to what they're saying. But let me ask you a question. Did you exalt God when God delivered you? Did he give you a new song? Did he give you a new heart? Did he give you a new life? Then give him the glory. You know why Israel could give him the glory? Because what God done, man could not do. Do you know why you got to give God the glory when you get saved? Because what God done to you, man cannot do. He saved your soul. His son Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross for your sins. He shed his own blood. He was buried. And in 3 days he rose again, victorious over death and the grave. He took that shed blood and he put it in the Holy of Holies in heaven before God. And God looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. As his precious children. Do you know that in the Bible that once you're saved, you're never called a sinner again? You're a child, a saint, beloved, joint heir. Amen. But he never calls you a sinner again. Because see, when God looks at us, sister, it's through the blood. Do you know what that blood done for us? It's like, I don't know if this handkerchief's... Oh, I forgot my hanky. Amen. You got a white hanky, brother? A clean one. Amen. I'm sorry. Do you know what God done for us? God took that blood and He redeemed us. When we ask for forgiveness of sin, Christ took upon Himself our sin, the rebuke, the putrid sin of man, and He put upon us a robe of righteousness. And when God looks down from heaven through the blood, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bob Johnston's no good. Bob Johnston's not a good person. But the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness, which He imputed to me, which He gave to me when I accepted Him, God sees me as white as snow, pardoned of sin, a child. Israel had been delivered from the bondage of sin. Through the promise of God, through the power of God, and for God's glory. And they sang unto Him that glory. And then He done it not only for His honor and for His glory. Look in verse number 11 of chapter 15. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Oh, Thou stretchest out Thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. There it is. For Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. He not only done it for His honor, He not only done it for His glory, but He done it for those that He loved, His people. Do you know why God sent His only begotten Son for you? Because God loves you. Do you know what the difference is between a lost person, the love that God has for a lost person, and the love that God has for a saved person? Nothing. God loves us the same. But you know what the problem is? Even though He may love a lost person, He cannot show that love until that person comes to Calvary. Then as a child of God, He shows you His love. He embraces you. He cares for you. He loves you. But it's until you come. Christian, if you know Him, truly know Him, He's shown you how much He loves you. He embraces you. But you know what the problem is? Sometimes we're between the rock and the hard spot, and we just forget how good God is. It's time that we step out and say, God, take me out of the middle and let me put You back in the middle. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, say, God, take me out of the way of sin and death and put me on the path of righteousness through the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. God told Israel, go forward. Tonight, Christian, it's time to go forward. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ, it's time to step out and to go forward. God has prepared a way. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God has prepared a way. But will you enter in? Will you enter into the way that God has prepared? Let me ask a question tonight. How many here tonight could say, Brother Bob, I know that I'm saved? Just an uplifted hand. You know you're a child of God. Amen. You can put them down. I didn't really look to see who could and see who couldn't, because, see, it's not between me and you. It's between you and God. See, you can deceive me, but you can't deceive yourself, and you can't deceive God. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, God has made a way. And God's saying tonight, it's time to go forward in your life. It's time to give up on self. It's time to give up and let God do what He desires to do for you. Christian, you raise your hand. It's time to let God take the battle over in your life. Those of you that raised your hand for salvation, saying that you knew that you were saved, how many of you tonight would say, Brother Bob, the message spoke to my heart, just an uplifted hand. Did God speak to you? Do you know why God spoke to you? Because God wants to hear from you. I'm not a beggar, and I'm not going to beg you to come. God didn't beg Israel to cross the Red Sea. He just made a way, and they went across. God wants to hear from you tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ, God desires you to cross to the other side tonight. Come and find Him, and you'll find what life is all about. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. God bless this invitation now. In Christ's name, as the pianist plays.